All right, we'll say good morning. Sorry, getting above a little bit of a later start, but let's begin. Today's daf is Nun Ches 58. We are picking up on the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Beis E Vayis Ema. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines up from the bottom. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Reuven Goodman on the occasion of his father's Yartzeit Kalman Chaim Ben Avram. We hope that on the merit of our Talmud Torah and Shom will have an aliyah on the family in Nechama. So let's begin. See by same. Remember again, we are coming off a Braisa where we were discussing two distinct issues. Right? Issue number one was the idea about whether or not listim mizuyim are a ganav or listim mizuyim ultimately are a gazlan. Right, remember again the nafkamina being that if it's a ganav, ultimately again there would be a chiyuv of kefal in the event that the shomer lied about the fact that the item was taken by listim mizuyim. And of course again the bigger machlokas upon which we are embedded is machlokas Rabba and Rav Yosef regarding the nature of a shomer aveda, one who watches a lost object. According to Rabba, ultimately such a shomer is a shomer chinam. According to Rav Yosef, such a shomer is a shomer sachar. So the Gemara says, "Iba yisimiki demachlif Rav Baravua." V'tani, the possibility for understanding the Braisa is as the way that Rav Baravua flipped it around and taught and said the following: "Socher kitzad mishalim." In what way does a socher, a renter, pay? Rabbi Meir Omer kishomer socher. Rabbi Meir says he pays like a shomer socher. Rabbi Huda Omer kishomer chinam. Rabbi Huda says he pays like a shomer chinam. Rabbi Zera Amar Hacha Mayaskinon. What's the case of Rabosai? Betoein tainas listim mizuyim. Benimsa listim she'ino mizuyim. So the way Rabbi Zera chooses to understand the Braisa is talking about a shomer who makes a claim ultimately again of listim mizuyim. And again, Rabosai, remember again, if you make a claim of listim mizuyim, then ultimately again that is a claim of onus, extenuating circumstances, under which normal circumstances, even a shomer sachar will be pot. So the only one who will be chayav in that kind of case ultimately is a shoel. The nimtza listim she'inon mizuyin. And it turns out that ultimately, again, the people who stole the object was in fact stolen, interestingly enough, but not by listin mizuyin, rather by listin she'inon mizuyin, regular thieves, in which case, again, there is no chiyav of keifa. So just to close out this sugya, the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins in terms of shomer aveda, when one is watching a lost object, what type of shomer are they? Kol zman sh'aveda etzlo, any time that one is watching over a lost object, if the object was lost or stolen, chayiv ba'achrayusa. The shomer is chayiv for gneva aveda. If the object was stolen or lost, kedin shomer sachar. Ultimately, again, as the status of a paid custodian. So what says halacha l'maisa l'shulchan aruch paskins that when you are watching a lost object, you have the din of a shomer sachar, of a paid custodian. Therefore, again, if the object is stolen or lost, I am chayev for that object. If, however, again, there is an onus extenuating circumstance, then ultimately, again, I am patros. That's a very important piece of halacha l'maisa. Says the Gemara, nafla legina v'nanis mishalanis mashanes. Remember, again, the next part of the Mishnah says, there's more to talk about with the Aveda piece. If we have time at the end, I'll come back to it. So the Gemara says the following: If nafal legina venanis, mishlamas mashananis. So what happens? The Mishnah said, if the animal, my animal, fell into Reuven's garden and went ahead and ate some of the stuff in the field, the halacha is I have to pay what the animal benefited. And I will say what we're going to see now is that lamaisa, there are two different forms of damages. Or two different forms of payment. Sometimes you pay for what you benefited from. Sometimes you pay what you damaged. So just to understand that, we'll explain it in just a moment. Amarav, Rav said, when does this mean when you say that you pay for what you benefited from? Benechbita. Boza, this is talking about where the animal, imagine the following scene. My animal's walking, falls into Reuven's garden, and falls on top of Reuven's produce. The good news is, Reuven's produce cushioned the fall of my animal. Therefore, again, my animal was saved by injury because of the produce cushion. Rashi says over here, Amarav, it's the first white line in the bottom of Rashi. Hadiktani mashenes mishalemes shenech beta kamar kishenech beta alatvua shikasan bekarka vefsidam So what I saw, I benefited. I, the owner of the animal that fell, benefited. Why? Because my animal was not injured. So therefore, again, but I will say, if my animal ate, if my animal fell into Reuven's garden and ate his produce, this is very interesting. I'm not chayiv at all. I'm not chayiv for even what the animal ate. Now, why is that? So lema Rav letame. So let Rav. So say that this is Rav according to his reasoning. The Amar Rav. Hayalo shalotochal. We'll say, you remember the case, we had this a little bit a while ago, where what? Reuven trespasses and brings produce into my field. And what happens? My animal eats his produce, gets sick, and dies. So, first opinion said, the Reuven is chayy for that, right? Because he trespassed into his field and brought his produce here, which he has no right to do. Rav said, no. Rav said, the Reuven, the owner of the produce, could say to me, the owner of the field, the owner of the animal, your animal shouldn't have eaten anything. In other words, we'll say, what Rav Shita means is, there's a recognition that Lamaisa, the owner of the produce, is not chayiv because the animal should not have eaten. So the Gemara suggests over here something amazing. So the Gemara says, Amri, hach, so the Gemara suggests over here that Lamaisa, when my animal falls into Reuven's yard, and the animal eats the produce, that I, the owner of the animal, could be potter because I could say to Reuven, listen, I didn't want my animal to eat any of the produce, but what can I do? I have no control over the animal's consumption habits, and therefore I should be potter. To which the Gemara says, Amri, hachi hashta imar dam rav hasam hayelo shlo tochal, hecha de iska hi de matzi amro de mare de peri, lo mishalmana, hayelo shlo tochal. So we'll say, when does Rav say that the animal shouldn't have eaten? We'll say that's in a case where the animal was injured, and the owner of the peros says, look, you should have kept literally a tighter leash on your animal and not allow your animal to eat all of the produce. However, again, so the Gemara says, Shalotocha la zuke hi achrini. But would Rav ever apply this logic when the animal damages someone else? In other words, we both say, so when the animal is damaged, so you can understand why the owner of the peros, the trespassing owner of the peros, would say, look, you know what? Yes, I trespassed, but who said that your animal should eat all of this produce? And if your animal died as a result of overeating the produce, you, the owner of the animal, have some level of liability. But if the animal falls into Reuven's yard and eats Reuven's produce, does the owner of the animal have the right to make a claim? No, I can't control what my animal eats. There's no such claim like that when it comes to damaging someone else. And therefore, the Maisa, Rav wouldn't make this claim. Elo, top of Nunches, Lomi Bai Kamar. Rather, the Gemara says, Lomi Bai. What does Lomi Bai mean? Lomi Bai Achla, the Mishlamas Mashanan. So, Bosa, it goes without saying that if the animal falls in, remember, the case over here is very specific. My animal is falling into Reuven's yard, his gina, his garden, and he eats produce. So it goes without saying that I have to pay what the animal benefited. And I will say, just so you understand, the idea of paying what you benefit from means the following. That doesn't necessarily mean the value of what the animal ate. Mishlomas Mashananis means that, let's say, for example, my animal fell in at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. I would normally have to give the animal lunch. So let's say, again, I give my animal very low quality stuff. It would have cost me $20 to feed my animal lunch. My animal fell into Reuven's garden, went ahead and ate Reuven's produce, and now no longer has to eat lunch. So therefore, what's effectively happened? What's happened? I saved $20. That's what it means when it says, Mishalemes Mashananis. I pay what I benefit. And I both say, now of course, the great chiddush in that is, it's quite possible that my animal ate something of much higher value. So let's say my animal ate a row of fruit that was worth $50. So again, we'll see, this discussion will evolve. But this Mishalemes Mashananis means that's not the way we value the obligation to pay. We'll say, that's called damages. Meaning, when you go ahead and you pay for what you ate, that's called damages. This is unique. I'm paying what I benefited from. Now, listen, now, why wouldn't you pay what you damaged? Because remember, again, we're talking about a specific case over here of ones, of extenuating circumstances. This is where my animal slipped and fell into someone else's yard. This is not where my animal actively went into Reuven's field and started eating his produce. This is where my animal, the simplest way to imagine this case is, the Rosh Hashanah is at an elevated level. My animal's walking and it slips. We'll discuss how it slips. It slips and it falls into Reuven's garden that's over here. But once it falls into Reuven's garden, it sees a beautiful vegetable patch. It eats it. In that case, the Mishnah says, where again, there's no there's negligence on my part. There's an ones situation, and therefore I'm obligated to pay that which I benefited. I saved the cost of having to feed the animal lunch, and therefore, again, that's what I'm going to pay. But there is no obligation for damages in this case. So the Gemara says, lo mi bai, achlad demshav smashan anis. It goes without saying that I have to pay for what the animal, from what I benefited from, aval nechpita. Listen to this. But I would have thought that when the animal falls down, and let's say has its fall cushioned by Reuven's produce, that Rabbi said that's called Mavriach Ari Minichse Chavero. That's called chasing a lion away from my friend's property. Rabbi say the phrase Mavriach Ari Minichse Chavero is a very important halacha. That means I have an obligation if I see that your property is being damaged, and I have the ability to go ahead and prevent that from occurring, I have a halachic obligation to do so. It's called Mavriach Ari Minichse Chavero. The Gemara gives an exaggerated example. If I see a lion damaging my friend's property, I'm chayef to step in. Now, under certain circumstances, the idea is that, let's say, just to give you a simple example, I walk by your house and I see you left your garden hose on, and the water is building up by your basement window, and it's going to go ahead and leak in. So we'll say, sometimes, conventional wisdom people think is, it's not my problem. Like I'm not getting involved in someone else's business. Kamashmalan, that if I see that someone else is going to be actively damaged, I have an obligation to stave off the damage from the individual. So I might have thought the following. I might have thought that when my animal falls into Reuven's garden patch, and what happens? The produce cushions the fall of the animal. I might have thought that that's Reuven performing his civic duty to go ahead and prevent my animal from being damaged. And therefore, again, perhaps I shouldn't have to pay anything. Kamashmalan, will say that that's not the case. And when the produce ultimately cushions the fall of the animal, then what? Then lemaise again, I am obligated to pay that which I benefited. Meaning, my benefit in this case is my animal did not get injured. So I have to pay. We quantify that benefit. But why don't we say, why isn't this the case? Why don't we say that when the animal slips and falls into Reuven's garden patch, and Reuven's vegetables cushion the flow, that should be Reuven's obligation to stave off damage from my property? To which the Gemara says, first of all, the concept of is an informed willing act. It's something I do consciously. I make an active choice to do something to save my friend from damage. Something happening de facto that after the fact turns out that I saved my friend's property from damage, that's not called Mavriach Reminichse Chavero. Furthermore, again, Inami, Mavriach Reminichse Chavero less Leipsida. Hi, is Leipsida. I will say, furthermore, again, in the case of Mavriach Reminichse Chavero staving off damage on my friend's property, there is no loss to me in that. Again, I walk by your house, I see your hoses on, so I turn it off. There's no damage to me. There's no loss to me. In this case of Rabbi Yosef, of course, there is loss to me because I'm losing out on the garden patch. So the Gemara says, Hechi nafal. So let's go back. How does the animal fall? So we'll say, so now we're dealing with a case of where there was like an ones type of situation. The animal fell, my animal fell into Reuven's garden. How did that happen? Rav Kahana Amar, Shehochel Kav Meme Ragla. Rav Kahana said it slipped on its urine. And I will say, now again, if you understand, like this case over here is a real case of ones, because obviously the animal relieves itself, right? That's understood that is going to work. That's just a process, ultimately, again, of an animal, right? So the idea over here is the animal slips on its urine and falls from the Rosh Sarabim into the Gino, into the garden. Rava says, no, chaverta. That there were two animals of Osai, and one animal pushed the other. One animal pushed the other, and therefore it fell in. So the opinion who said that the animal was pushed by its fellow, and that's the case where you're going to pay, Vishalemis Mashananis, would of course agree in a case of where the animal slipped on its own urine, that you're only going to have to pay that which the animal benefited from. Umanda Mashokaloka Mimi Ragleha, Avalda Chafta Chaverta, Pasha Umishalemis Mashaziga. But I will say the one who holds that the case is where the animal slipped on its own urine, that's the case of Ones. But in a case of where one animal pushed the other animal, I will say, that's a case of pshia. That's a case of pshia. And ultimately, again, the owner of the animal is going to have to pay that which was damaged. Why? Because Rabosai, Reuven, the owner of the Gina, could say, listen, when you have multiple animals, you have to pass them through what? One at a time. The fact that you went ahead and you doubled them up side by side, you have to anticipate the animals become a little bit aggressive and they're going to try to push or jostle a little bit. And therefore, again, the fact that you passed your animal, you know, the fact essentially that you went on the shoulder, right, and tried to pass the other guy, and then he moved over a little bit and pushed your animal over into the gina. So the mice, again, you are a poshia, you are negligent because of that, and you'd have to pay ultimately, again, mashe zika. And therefore, I will say, again, it appears that the position of Rav Kahana is the normative way to understand the Mishnah. That the case of ones, the case of extending any circumstances where the animal falls into the gina, falls into the garden, bless you, and will only be obligated to pay mashenehenis, that which was benefited, right, the benefit, and not damages, is the case where the animal slipped on its own urine, because that is just an unavoidable mishap. Therefore, again, the responsibility of the owner of the animal is diminished. He doesn't have to pay that which was damaged. Instead, he only has to pay ultimately what it is that he benefited from. Amar Rav Kahana, lo shana ela ba'osa aruga. So if Kana comes along and says, that when do we say that the animal pays mashenehenis, that which it benefited and not that which it damaged? We'll say that's only when the animal consumes from that row. In other words, we'll say the case, let's just frame the case now. The animal's walking, slips on its urine, falls into Reuven's field. What happens? Lands, boom, like right on the tomato patch. So what is the Mishnah Paskin? I, the owner of the animal, I don't have to pay damages. I just have to pay what my animal benefited from. Right? Which we said, for example, is I saved $20 in feeding the animal lunch. Fine. So now Rav Kahana comes along and says, this is only true that you only have to pay mashenehenis when the animal eats from the actual patch upon which it fell. If, however, again, the animal then starts wandering around, says, right, like struck gold over here, and starts eating stuff from the rest of the garden, then what? Then the owner has to pay damages. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Afilu mi aruga la aruga. Va'afilu kol hayom kulo. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi say, no. Even if the animal wanders to a different patch, and even if the animal remains in there the whole day and keeps eating the entire day, so ultimately, again, the owner of the animal, I, which is me in this case, I will only be chayiv that which I benefited from. Meaning I only have to pay damages at what point in time? Ad shetetze v'tachsra ladas. Until ultimately the animal leaves the garden, right, Reuven's garden, and comes back in ladas, and comes back in ultimately again with my knowledge. What Rabbi Yochanan essentially says is, when my animal falls into Reuven's garden in a total ones, extenuating circumstances, then lemaisa again, I am potter from that, until when? Until the animal actively leaves and comes back in with my knowledge. So if the animal goes out and comes back in, then I'm chayiv for damages. If, however, the animal fell in there, even though the animal's eating from other patches, even though the animal's there the whole day, nevertheless, what? I'm still going to ultimately be not putter. I'm only going to have to pay what the animal benefited from and not damages. So Amar Papa, lo tema achetetze ladas v'tachshu ladas. It doesn't mean that I'm only chayiv for damages when the animal leaves with the owner's understanding or the owner's knowledge and returns with the owner's knowledge. Elo, kevan shiyatzes aladas, afapi shechazra shaloladas. I will say rather what it means is, once the animal leaves with my knowledge, even though what, it returns back without my knowledge, I'm still going to be chayiv for damages. What's the reason for that? I will say, my timer, the amrale, because the owner of the field could say to me, kevan diyalfa, now that the animal knows that this particular place has good food, kol emas dinishtama lahasam rahata. Whenever it escapes from you, it's always going to run to me. So therefore, in a case like this, once the owner of the animal becomes aware of what happened, right, and the animal leaves the garden, so therefore the owner has to be exceptionally vigilant to keep his animal under guard, because just those animal instincts ultimately will lead him back to this particular place. So we'll say, so again, so therefore, halacha l'maaseh, the Gemara setting up the Mishnah, is that we're talking about a case where the animal is slipping on its urine, unavoidable circumstance, and therefore when it falls ultimately into the garden patch, even if it wanders throughout the garden and continues to eat there, because its arrival in that field was a result of a total ones situation, the owner is only liable to pay for that which he benefited and not chayiv to pay damages. Fine. So the Gemara goes weiter. So yarda kidarka vezikra mishnas mash azikra. Both sides. Now remember, this is the opposite case. This opposite case over here is the animal's not slipping, there's no ones. My animal walks into Reuven's field and begins to consume Reuven's produce. What happens in that case? I have to pay damages. I have to pay damages. Now, both sides. Now remember, the novelty of the Mishnah was the following. If you remember again, how do we assess damages? So remember again, that it's reflexively we assume that if I go ahead, if my animal eats a row of Reuven's tomatoes, so we look at how much does a row of tomatoes cost, right? How much do tomatoes get on the market? Remember again, the Mishnah gave a very novel idea. The Mishnah says that that's not how we evaluate damages. Rather, the Mishnah says, we don't just look at that patch by itself, but rather again, we look, it seems to be, although we'll qualify this in just a little bit, that what we look at is if I had a field that was the size of a base saw, and what's the difference in the value between a field with a base saw with, you know, five tomato patches versus four tomato patches. So let's say, assuming there were five, the animal ate one. What's that difference of value? So we don't look at just the value of the tomato patch. We look at the value of the tomato patch in the context of a larger field. That's damages. So says the Gemara. So by Rabbi Yirmiya, yarda kidarka vezika b'melei damahu. What's another interesting case? Let's say the animal, my animal, goes down into Reuven's field, and what happens? It gives birth. It gives birth in the field. So what happens? What he calls the meleida. The meleida are the liquids, the secretions associated with birth, right? The afterbirth, whatever it is, it mamish like gets all over the produce and obviously ruins the produce. So what's the halacha? Aliba demandam retchilasa v'pshev sofa ba'ones chayiv loti ba'ilacha. So both say, remember again, this is a classic case of what? Tchilasa v'pshev sofa ba'ones. Right? This is the beginning. What's the tchilas of the b'shia? What's the b'shia? That I allowed my animal to wander into Reuven's field. The sofa ba'ones is the animal gave birth there. So we'll say, if you owe tchilas of the b'shia of a sofa ba'ones is chayiv, fine. It's obvious that I'm going to be chayiv for the damage done to the crops. Kiti ba'ilucha, where does the question come up? Aliba demand amr tchilas of b'shia of sofa ba'ones, potter. So we'll say, what happens if you owe tchilas of b'shia of sofa ba'ones is potter? How so? My. So do we say on one hand, look, so I know this began as negligence, but Lamais, at the end of the day, it was extenuating circumstances, therefore I am Pater. On the other hand, perhaps this entire situation ultimately again is one of Pshia. We will say, how could it all be Pshia? The Chayvan, the Kachazi, decree Le Lemelod, Iboi leila and linture on with days, ula as temure. So begava, we'll say that it could be that since I saw my animal was close to giving birth, I had an obligation to what? To keep my animal close and locked up. Therefore again, we'll say this is not tchilas of pshia b'sof ba'onis, but rather again, maybe it's just one big case of pshia to which the Gemara says teku. We're not sure. We'll let Eliyahu HaNavi deal with this one. Next. So how do you evaluate ultimately again that which was damaged? So this is as we just said before. I don't look at the damaged item by itself. I don't look at a tomato patch by itself or a row of wheat by itself, but rather again, I look at its value in the context of a larger field. And I look at the value of the field. I look at the value of the field with this row and without this row. And that difference in value ultimately, again, represents damages. Says the Gemara, Menachani Mili, how do we know that we evaluate damages that way? Meaning, I would have thought that valuation of damages is done in a very simple way. If I damaged a row of tomatoes, just see how much it costs for buy a row of tomatoes on the marketplace. How do I know that when I evaluate damages, I do it in the context of the value of that which the animal consumed in the context of a larger field? Rav Nasa d'amar karka, the pasuk says, "Ubir v'steacher." Ultimately, again, the animal will go out and consume in a different field. So the Gemara darshins, "Malamid sheshamin algav sode acher." So we'll say, interestingly enough, so the Gemara darshins on this "Ubir v'steacher" means that the valuation, ultimately, again, of that which was damaged is done b'steacher, on the basis of another field. In other words, that we don't just look at that which was damaged, but rather the damaged is looked at in the context of a larger field. So Gemara says, one second. Ubir b'stei achar mi'bari le'latukir shesurabim. But we already need that phrase. What does Ubir b'stei achar teach us, Rabbi Asai? It teaches us that l'maisa, I'm only chayiv for shame, only chayiv for shame if done in the reshus of another. But I'm not chayiv for shame ultimately if done in reshus harabim. To which the Gemara says, imkein, lichtov rachmana ubir b'stei chaveiro. If that's the case, then let the Torah say the animal goes out and does destruction, does shame in his friend's field, inami sede acher, or another field, my biste acher. We'll say, why do I need that extraneous base, right? Why biste acher? To which the Gemara says, sheshamin agav sode acher. So we'll say, this is very interesting. Therefore, the Gemara teaches me the idea, Ubir b'stei acher teaches me that the valuation for damages is done based on a sada acher, done based ultimately again on another field, which means again that we look at that which was consumed in the context of a larger field and not just by itself. So say that this entire pasuk comes to teach me this halacha. The lafukir surab minal, and if that's the case, where do I know that shein rabosai does not apply in rishus harabim? So imkein lichtevei rachmana gabi tashlumin. If that's the case, then let the Torah say this is the acher piece by tashlumin when it comes to payment for damages. Meitav sadehu umeitav karmo yishalim bizdei acher. Let the pasuk say he shall pay from the best of his fields, from the best of his vineyard, shall he pay bizdei acher based on another field. So we'll say, why is it that the Torah phrases includes this lashon of stay acher ultimately again by the ikar act of shame itself? To which the Gemara says, "Shema minatati." So therefore, it's teaching me two things. So therefore, ubir b'stei acher also teaches me two things. Number one, that I'm only chayev for shame in rishus harabim. That's lesson number one. And lesson number two is what? Lesson number two is that. Lesson number one is that I'm only chayav for shein in rishus harabim. Lesson number two is that valuation for damages is not just done based on the value of the item itself, but rather is done what? In the context of a greater field. So heichi shayminis. Well, so now let's get to tachlis. So how do we, so now what we've established is, and this is really an incredible novelty. So now what we've established is that I don't evaluate damages just based on looking at the item itself, but rather I do it looking at the item in the context of a greater field. So for, again, so in a very simple way, my animal falls into Reuven's yard, or my animal walks into Reuven's yard, eats a row of tomatoes. I don't go ahead and evaluate the row of tomatoes by itself, but rather I look at the row of tomatoes in the context of the greater field. So therefore, again, I look at how much would a base of property be worth with this row of tomatoes versus without this row of tomatoes, and it sounds like that difference, that amount, that difference, that's called damages. So says the Gemara, Heichi shayminas, how exactly does this happen? So for example, we would look at a lot of tafka, we'll say it has to be land. It's more like measurements. So the Gemara says, we look at land. So b'shishim sin, Rashi says, we're so b'samech sin, high base of the k'tani b'masnis, and the b'shvila ruga achar shaman b'sa, lav b'sa ba'anpe nafshe shaminan, t'machishon le'lamazik. So we'll listen to this. What we would do is, we would look at this one base saw in the context of 60 other base saw. If I had 60 base saw of land, and it were to have this one patch versus not having this patch, what would be the quantitative difference in the value of the land? And that would be the amount ultimately that I would pay. Now, we'll say, essentially, what you're going to see now is everyone is agreeing with the principle. The principle is that we never look at a row of tomatoes by itself, right? And therefore, we look at the row of tomatoes in the context of a greater amount. The machlokis is going to be how much of a greater amount are we evaluating it based on. So Rabbi Yossi is going to say, we look at it as one base saw within 60 base saw. Rabbi Yanai Amar, Tarkov. We'll say Tarkov is a chatzi saw, chatzi base saw. So Rabbi Yanai says a little bit less. We look at it as a half a base saw, b'shishin tarkavim. Not 1/60th, not 1/6th, but rather again 1/30th. Chizkiya Amar, kalach b'shishim kalachim. Chizkiya says, Rabbi Yossi, that for example, we value it in 60 times that amount. So for example, if the animal ate one stalk of wheat, so we wouldn't look at the value of the stalk of the wheat. Rather, again, what would we do? We would look at it as if I had 60 stalks of wheat. And now, again, an animal ate one. What is the price difference between a bundle of 59 stalks versus 60 stalks. And that difference ultimately, again, will be damages. So, if the animal ate one kav or two kavim, ain omrim tishalim demehen, we don't say, well, what's the value of a kav or what's the value of two kavs? Elo, roinoso, ki'ilu hi aruga kitana. Rather, we'll say, what do we look at? So let's say the animal ate a kav of wheat. It doesn't matter what the item is. So I don't say how much is a kav, how much is two kav. Rather, how much is a row of wheat? Umisharim osa, and we value it. So we'll say, so we look at it as if it was a small row, and then we value it. So the word says, Maila bifne atzma. What does it mean we value it? Doesn't that mean that we value it by itself? In other words, we look, how much is the value of this amount of wheat? To which the word says, lo bishishim. Or rather, it means, again, in 60 times more than its value. Rashi says, ulechol chad kid isle. We'll say 60 times more. Again, everybody has their own way of applying this. But the idea ultimately is that we never look at the value of the item by itself, but rather we always look at it in the greater context. So we'll say, you understand, of course, that this usually yields an incredible benefit for the mazik, right, for the damager, right? Now we'll discuss why is it that this is tilted a little bit towards the mazik, because we'll say, now again, we'll see, it's not always that case, but it sounds like just logically that if you're telling me that I only have to pay the difference between, you know, a field with a row of tomatoes versus the value of the tomatoes themselves as they would sell in the market, sounds like, again, the first amount is a much lower amount. But nevertheless, we'll get to the why later on. Well, not today. We'll get to the why. But the idea, ultimately, is that everybody is agreeing that that's how we're evaluating damages. The only machlokas is, what ratio are we using? Tan Rabbanan. Ein shaman kav mipnei shamash bicho. So we'll say, ultimately, we don't go ahead and evaluate the actual value of a kav that was consumed by someone's animal. We'll say, ultimately, again, because it'll benefit him. Rashi says, look at Rashi. In shaman kav b'shishin kavim. We don't go ahead. No, I'm sorry, I'm reading ahead in Rashi. Let's just read this braisa first. Ein shaman kav mipnei shemashbicho, velo beiskor mipnei shepogmo. So we'll say, it sounds like over here, we don't evaluate the kav because it benefits him. We don't evaluate the beiskor because it damages him. So you must, Michael, what does this mean? This is what it means to say. Ein shaman kav b'shishim kavim. We don't go ahead and evaluate the value of a kav, bless you, in the context of 60 kavim. Why? Mipnei shemashbiach mazik. Because ultimately, again, what happens? I will say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Mishemashbiach mazik. The shishim kavim ein lahem mechram mipnei shemerubin hein laani umuatan lebenonis. Because I will say, if you evaluate that way, that'll yield an incredible benefit ultimately to the mazik. I will say, in other words, if the animal eats a kav, and the way you're arriving at the value of the damages is by making it part of a unit of 60 kavim, ultimately the mazik is going to have to pay very little. Because I will say, the difference between a unit of 59 kavim versus 60 kavim is going to be relatively small, and the mazik is going to get away with paying very little bit. Below kor b'shishim kor, on the flip side of osai, if the animal were to eat a kor of wheat, we would not value that based on a unit of 60 kurim. In other words, let's say the difference in a value of 59 kurim versus 60 kurim. Why? Mipnei shepogem mazik. Because I will say, ultimately, again, that would impose undue hardship upon the mazik. Rashi says, mipnei shepogem mazik, lefisha adam hamishupa b'nechasim v'tayv l'noskar g'dol al-kona osa. I will say, the idea that Bryce is trying to highlight over here is, these ratios are not absolute. These ratios also depend on how much actually was consumed by the animal. Maskif l'rafuna bar manuach, high below base core, below core reboiling. We'll say, why does the Bryce use lashon of base core? Shouldn't have said a base core, because we'll say base core is the value of land. It should have said instead kor, which is a volume measurement. To which the Gemara says, "Ella amar Rafuna bar Manoach mishnei d'Ravacha breid Ravika hachi katani." This is what it means to say: Ein shaman kav bifnei atzmo. The boss said, "Here is really what the Bryce was trying to say: if the animal eats a kav of produce, when looking for the value of damages, we do not evaluate damages just based on the value of the kav itself. Why? Mipnei shemashbiach nizak." Because Rabbi said that will give an unfair monetary advantage to who? To the damaged party. Velo kav bebase kar. Rabbi said, similarly, again, we will not go ahead and value the kav of a base kar by itself. Why? Because Rabbi said, ultimately, again, that will impose undue hardship upon the nizak. Elo, B'shishim. Rather, I will say what we do is we take the value, we take the unit, ultimately again, of what was consumed, and we look at it in the context of a ratio of 60. So for example, just very simply, if the animal were to eat a kav of produce, what we would do is we would not value that kav by itself. But rather, what we would do is, if you had 60 kavin, the value of 60 kavin is X. Now, what would be the value of 59 kavin? Whatever that X minus Y amount is, that's the value. The difference between those two, that'll be the value of damages. So we'll say the Gemara ends off, but we'll end with this, a very interesting story. The Gemara says, Hahu Gabra, there was a guy. There was a guy who cut down his friend's date palm. Went over to this friend's farm, she cut it down. So what happens? The victim brought the case before the Reish Kalusa, right? So remember, so Reuben went and cut down Shimon's palm tree. Shimon comes to the Reish Kalusa. Listen, Reuben, cut down my palm tree. So what happens? It says the Gemara. So the Reish Kalusa said, Lididi Chazili, I know Reuben's palm grove. I know exactly the palm grove that you're referring to. And I saw Talasa Bikinahavu, Kaimi. And what I saw, that was a row of three palm trees. Vavushabu Mea Zuzi. And the value of that grove of palm trees was 100 zuz. So Reuben possessed three palm trees, that together the grove was worth 100 zuz. So therefore the Reish Kalusa paskind, Zil Havle, Tlasin Utlasa Vitilsa. So Shimon, go and pay Reuben 33 and a third zuzim. Right? Makes sense. There are three palm trees, together they're worth 100 zuz. Reish Kalusa says, you damaged the third of the property, go pay 33 and a third zuzim. So listen to this. So the Gemara says, Amar, so that Reuben, the perpetrator, says, Gabe Reish Kalusa de doyin dina parso lamali. Why do I have to come for psak halacha from the Reish Kalusa, who doesn't even apply Jewish law, but instead is applying Persian law? So rather, again, asa lekamei d'Rav Nachman. I'm going to the rabbi, right? So it's a famous refrain when you don't get what you want, right? I'm going to the rabbi. So, correct. So the idea is, he doesn't, I will say, now again, understanding over here, there's no question that the Reish Kalusa seemed to be applying a Persian standard of law. Now that doesn't mean it's wrong. But Lamaisa, the guy says, well, I'm going to the Rav and he's going to pass him to me. They went to Rav Nachman, Amar Le B'shishim. Rav Nachman said, now the truth is, there is a different valuation for damages. How do we evaluate damages based on what we said? We don't look at that palm tree in the context of three. Rather, what do? We look at that palm tree in the context of a grove of 60. And we say that if I had a grove of 60 palm trees, and I only have a grove of 59 palm trees, what is the difference in that value? And that will become, ultimately, the value of damages. To which the Gemara says, 1 second. Amrali Rava, bless you. Amrali Rava, im amru biniske mamono, yomru biniske gufo. Now Rava says, 1 second. That was a huge jump. And mostly remember, what's been our topic this entire time? This whole time we're talking about what? Niske mamono, which means what? My animal. We'll say, this whole discussion is about animal damages. Right? This is my animal goes out and damages. We're talking about how to evaluate damages that my animal does. That's where we've established that damage is never assessed just based on the pure value of the item itself, but rather is assessed in some type of shishim. Who says that that framework applies to people? Right? It could very well be, wasn't it? Because we know, first of all, we already know off the bat that when I damage, there's a totally different set of responsibility than my animal damages. So Rava comes along and says, who says that the 60 valuation model applies to when I damage? Perhaps it only applies to my animal damage. So I'll say, we'll stop over here for today. We'll let Mir Hashem pick up with this price tomorrow. So Dina de Machusa, Dina works when it does not undermine Halacha. So the question is, what this guy is telling me is that Dina de Machusa, Dina is against Halacha. So that is over here, he has a right to appeal and to go to Allah. It's definitely, well, look, and rightfully so. And rightfully so, if we think that Allah only demands that he pays in the context of 60, saying that he has to pay a third is a huge responsibility.
So you're talking about paying damages based on the marginal value.